This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And I think this is actually a very important topic because it's one third of our practice of Islam is Usuluddin. If we think about our Islam as a map, it's three parts of this map that we can look at our lives and say, how is my Islam? How is my practice of Islam? The first is Usuluddin. The second is worship, fiqh. And then the third is tasawwuf or tazkiyat an-nafs, purification of the soul and the mind, building the inner capacity for outer work. And Usuluddin, which I mentioned in the beginning, is made up of three subjects. Number one is Tawheed, Ilahiyat, God. Like, what do I need to know about God? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is An-Nubuwat, prophethood. What do I need to know about prophets? What do I have to believe about prophets? What am I not allowed to believe about prophets? And then number three is what's called a sam'iyat. Sam'iyat means things you hear. Ibn Malik says, وَمَا بِتَا وَأَرِفٍ قَدْ جُمِعَ يُكْسَرُ فِي الْجَرِّ وَفِي نَصْبِي كَمَا. Right, anything that has this muslimat, sam'iyat, qanitat, alif lam, it's a female plural. So sam'iyat, those things that you have to hear. And scholars of theology were very smart to call these things sam'iyat because it implies you can't think it. It's not, you know, something you construct. It's not something that you think or feel. It's something sami'na wa ta'na. You have to hear it from the Quran or you have to hear it from Sayyid al-Akwan, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another word for sam'iyat that most of you probably know is al-ghaybiyat, the unseen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe with the unseen. This ba is called ba musahaba, which we translate it as to believe in. This is a mistaken translation. آمَنْتُ بِلَا means مَعَ اللَّهِ الْمَعِيَّةِ. If I say جِدْتُ بِعَمْرٍ, I came with Amr. Doesn't say I'm in Amr, I'm with Amr. مَرَرْتُ بِفُلَان, I passed by him. The haraka ba, or the harf ba means haraka, action. So you say iman billah, we translate it wrong, to believe in Allah. No, to believe with Allah. Of course, Allah is not physically with us. Allah is beyond any physical limitations. But Allah says in the Quran, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah is with you wherever you are. Aqraba ilaykum min hablil warid. Allah is closer to you than you are to your jugular vein. La ilaha illallah. La yakhfa alayhi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama. Nothing is hidden from him. But if I frame my relationship with Allah as a companionship, ba musahaba, from the same word as sahabi, ba, the ba of sahba, the ba of companionship, then I realize that I'm never alone. Allah is with me by his knowledge, by his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore this is a relationship and I am responsible in this relationship. Faith in God means the acquisition of rules only. This is Christianity. Faith with Allah means the acquisition of knowledge, and then I translate this, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا. And that's why the highest level of iman is the highest level of that understanding. أَن تَعْبُرُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Worship Allah like you see him. Why? Because you have this relationship. Even though you can't see him, you know he sees you. This is not wahdatul wujud. This is wahdatul shuhud. And everything happened from Allah. And one of the mistakes that Muslims make, especially Sunnis, we don't study correctly. Going on TikTok and watching 30-second clips or YouTube bouncing from this talk, this person talking about this person, about this imam, about that, about this, about whatever's happened in the community. Now people talking about what people were talking about, what people were talking about on YouTube. Like, you got that kind of time? Are you that kind of loser? Your life is so empty that you have to watch other people's lives? Live your own life. Have some dignity in yourself. But learning is to sit and study one book in theology, one book in fiqh, one book in tasawwuf. Most Sunnis, we don't do that. We just like to say we know. But we should be humble. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِتَعَلُّمُ. Right? Knowledge is with working hard. So any major book of Sunni theology, you find something that challenges Sunnis, in particular, who say, you know, God created good, but they don't know who created evil. We don't make shirk with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah created all things. He causes all things. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He does what He wants. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He controls all things, everything that happens in the earth. قُلْ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Everything is from Allah. Good, evil, bad, suffering, happiness, poverty, difficulty, you name it. It's from Allah, not just good. That's why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah has a great statement about the hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel. He says, when the Prophet talked about Iman, he said, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمُ الْآخِرِ وَتُؤْمِنَ كَرَّرَ الْفِعْلِ. He mentioned the verb a second time. To believe with Allah, with the angels, with the prophets, with the hereafter, with the books. And then he said, and to believe. Why would he repeat the verb here? Because the object of this verb is what most Muslims will have a problem with, even adherent practicing Muslims. وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. He didn't say خَيْرِهِ, فَقَدْ. He said, and to believe that whatever Allah has decreed is going to happen, good or bad. He didn't just say good. That's why Sahib al-Jawhara, Jawharat al-Tawheed, is one poem we had to memorize. And the Azhar, you know, he says, وَجَائِزٌ عَلَيْهِ الْخَلْقُ وَجَائِزٌ فِي حَقِّهِ الْخَلْقُ. That one of the rights of Allah is to create. وَالْإِجَادُ وَالْإِشْقَاءُ وَالسُّعَادُ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ. That Allah is the only one that has the right to make something occur from nothing. To create it, to bring it out, happiness and sadness. We ask Allah to make us happy. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, إِنَّمَا يُجْمَعُ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. The person's creation happens in these periods. And then he says, ثُمَّ يُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ. Then the angel comes and blows into it. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. And then commands four things that Allah has commanded. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. The provisions of a person. And then he mentions, وَعَمَرِهِ أَشَّقِيٌ أَوْ السَّعِيدِ. And that what will happen in that person's life, whether they will be happy or sad. قُلُّ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And so that takes us now into this discussion around evil. Because we know that evil is from the unseen in the context that we're talking about now. Because the unseen is mentioned by Al-Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, is anything that is beyond our perception. That's the unseen. Anything which is beyond our ability to know is considered al-ghayb. And the only source of ghayb is al-wahi. And that's one of the major principles. Mustar, the source for understanding anything which is from al-ghaybiyat, the sam'iyat, is revelation. Not a pir sahib, not a sheikh, not an imam, not some hocus pocus stuff. Qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That's it. That's why Abu Hamid, rahimahullah, and Imam Majid, he was teaching here for so many years, the Ihya. On the section on Ruh, if you look at the Ihya al-Umuddin, it's huge. But on the section of Ruh, what does he say? وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنِ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He said, I don't have a lot to say about this because Allah only gave us a little knowledge. This is Imam al-Ghazali. Now if you go on Reddit, you put like, what do you Muslims think about the Ruh? Well, you know, I was having a turmeric latte at Camarilla, and like I had a kale salad with my hemp-based kufi on. And then I was like, yeah, man, the ruse like this. I was in Shenandoah, bro. Subhanallah. A lot of jahil leads to a lot of talking. A lot of knowledge leads to a lot of quiet and silence. Saying Allahu Adam. But we'll talk about hopefully two things. We won't take 2 hours. Trust me, I have four kids. My wife will kill me. You'll be reading about my obituary tomorrow. The sam'iyat and ghaybiyat. Because our wives are really the ones who put forth the struggle. Subhanallah. May Allah reward them. And our husbands. The first we'll talk about is death. Then after that we'll talk about jinn and shayateen. Then we'll talk about ruqya, exorcism. And if we have time, we'll talk about sihr and ayn. And if not, alhamdulillah, next year, we can pick up sihr and ayn, inshallah. But these all fall under al-ghaybiyat, the unseen, meaning the only source of information for them is authenticated hadith, statements of the sahaba, and revelation. That's it. Save yourself trouble. And there's nothing wrong with asking people for their sources. It's not a good teacher that you feel so scared you can't ask them questions. That's a bad teacher. A good teacher is the one who you feel so empowered and so comfortable, you can ask questions, alhamdulillah. So the first is death. In Islam, death is defined as when the soul reaches here. As is mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ أي حين بلغت الحلقوم تنظرون. Until the soul reaches here. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to accept the repentance of a person hatta yugharghir, until they begin to choke, meaning until the soul reaches here. In fiqh, and we have Shaykh Abdul Ra'if, we have a lot of scholars that can answer these questions. This has an impact on things like, you know, DNR. Because we define death differently than, say, in the hospital, where they say someone's brain dead. You say, well, death is when بلغت الحقوم والنازعات غرقا. It's mentioned in the Quran. But that's death. The first question that people ask is, can we communicate with the dead? Somebody, maybe they had some really spicy nahari, you know, and then they woke up at night and they thought they saw something in the kitchen, right? Or they had some strange experience, the kunafa, didn't have enough hayl asal. So the person's upset. We believe there's only three ways we can have communication with the dead. Three. That's it. The first is they can hear us. There's a difference of opinion on this because some people misunderstood the verse, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَ. Allah said to Sayyidina Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot make the dead hear. This is not talking about the literal dead. This is talking about the kuffar, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He's talking about those people, khatam Allahu ala qulubihim, that Allah sealed their hearts. Doesn't matter whether you call them or you don't call them, they're not going to believe. So the dead here doesn't mean literally dead, hada majaz. It means that they are dead in their soul, dead in their hearing. The proof of this is in Surah An'am also, when Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab became Muslim. As Imam al-Qurtubi mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the verse, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. The one who is dead, we brought him to life. Here, Sayyidina Umar, as Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, he wasn't literally dead, he was what? In his iman, he was dead. May Allah أَحْيِنَا بِالْإِيمَانِ يَا رَبِّ. So he was dead because he didn't have iman. سُمٌ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لا يعقلون. As for the dead that are in the grave, we have numerous evidences that show they can hear us. For example, the hadith of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, related by Malik in the Muwatta, wa arwihi bil isnad an shaykhi Shaykh Abdul Rahman Kittani from al-Maghrib, al-Bukhari, and Muslim. How you doing, man? Thank you.
Okay,
Barakallahu feek. May Allah give you bottles of water in Jannah. Ameen. You better get some bottles, man. Halal bottles. Yeah. Convert jokes. So, Imam Majid said, every time you come, you give good talk, you say one thing, man. I always get in trouble. I said, Sheikh, that's how it is, Sheikh. So, the first is the hadith of Sayyidina Aisha, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, when she said, when we go to the grave, what do we say? Sayyidina Aisha, al-Mu'mineen. Our mother, radiallahu anha, Prophet said, when you go to the grave, you say, As-salamu alaykum dar al-qawm al-mu'mineen, wa inna insha'allahu lahiqun, antum sabiqu wa nahnu lahiqun. When you go to the grave, say, salam to the deceased. Will you say to salam to people who can't hear you? Now, why would you go and say, As-salamu alaykum, daru qawmu mu'mineen, to the amwat, to the dead people, if they can't hear you? And we believe, and this is in usul al-fiqh, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ya'murna bil-abath, and the Prophet doesn't order us to do something that has no meaning, has no purpose. Oh, well, he just said it, so you just go there and say it, but it doesn't have any really real impact. A'udhu billah. Also in Surah Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ. That verse actually is quoting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Badr, when he was talking to Abu Jahl, and talking, thank you, may Allah give you qahwa in Jannah. Everybody's gonna start breaking stuff, right? May Allah give you a Tesla in Jannah. May Allah give you a house in Jannah. You can just keep bringing all kind of stuff, man, I'm good. As long as it's on the boycott list, if it's BDS approved, because I know everyone here is BDS compliant. Alhamdulillah, right? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring victory to the people of Gaza and Lebanon. And just keep bringing it though, for real. So he said to them, Ya Aba Jahl, hal wajadta ma wa'ada rabbuka haqqa? He said to him, did you not see what Allah promised you? That you were defeated? Al-Mughira, did you not see what Allah promised you? He was talking to them in their grave. Some scholars said this is khas bi Rasulillah. This is only for the Messenger of Allah. But we have a rule, as mentioned by Imam al-Shafi'i in the Risala, anything which is only for the Prophet is clear. Like there's no ambiguity. It's not a zahir, it's not mujmal, it's not shayfihi ghumud, it's clear. Like any in the Quran, most of us know what the Prophet can accept and can't accept. What he can do, what he can't do. Because it's very clear, bayyin. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in authentic hadith, he said, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَمُورُ بِقَبْرِ أَخِيهِ فَيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا يُرْضَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. That nobody will pass by the grave of his or her brother or sister in Islam and say, As-salamu alaykum, except they will respond to them, subhanAllah. And they will answer them. There are other narrations that support this, but this is important for people who lost. A lot of us, we lost family in COVID, man. A lot of us now, we're losing family. My wife's Lebanese. Right. Things are happening. It can be very therapeutic to know that if you go to the grave of somebody, they can hear you, alhamdulillah. You can talk to them. You can make dua for them. You can read Quran for them, as we'll talk about in a second. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, an authentic hadith, when he died, he said, read Baqarah on my grave. Read Surah Baqarah on my grave. Radiallahu anhuma. So that's the first. So it's important. Maybe we lost children. You know, we'll talk about it in a second. It's very therapeutic to be able to talk to them. Baba bihibbak, mama bihibbak. You know, we love you, we miss you. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite us together in Jannah, that we'll see you. Alhamdulillah. Hada khair kitir. And we shut this door. Aghliqna bab al-rahma bismi al-bid'ah. We close the door of mercy in the name of bid'ah. But here's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Here's the statement of the Messenger of Allah. That's why Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha, the authentic hadith related by Imam Muslim, she would go to the grave of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and she'd say, Ya Abati, O my father. Who's she talking to? Then she'd say, Jannat al-Ma'wa, for you is the highest level of Jannah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then she said to Sayyidina Anas, how could you put dirt on the body of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then she would continue to visit him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. That's the first. The second way is in our dreams. As is mentioned in the 42nd verse of the 39th chapter of the Quran, Surah Az-Zumar. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. That Allah takes the souls. We ask Allah to give us husn al-khatima. Good ending. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Allah takes the souls of those who die. Wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. And he takes, this is wa'at, speak Arabic. And he takes wa yatawaffa. التي لم تمت في منامها. And he takes the souls of those who died in their sleep. Because in theology, we have two types of death. If you remember that Nas song, sorry, Jahiliya throwback, where he said, I never sleep because sleep is the cousin of death. May Allah guide him back to Islam. We believe what's called Maut al-Kubra and Maut al-Sughra. The major maut, major death, is when the soul reaches here. The minor death is when we sleep. That's why the Prophet ﷺ told us to make wudu before we sleep, not ghusl, in case we pass. And why he said, say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulk wa lahu alhamdu yuhyi wa yumeet, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. 100 times, if you die, you die on the death of fitrah, Ya Allah. And to make that dua, Bismika Allahumma amut wa ahya, when we wake up. Because Allah ahyana ba'dah. He brought us to death. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. When we wake up in the morning, we say, Alhamdulillah for the one who brought us to life after we were dead. So here in this verse, the 42nd verse of the 39th chapter, yatawaffal anfusahina mawtiha. It takes those souls that have died, وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And he takes those souls who haven't died during their sleep. And what's understood and beautifully mentioned by Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, and others, is that there is a realm while we're sleeping where we could possibly parlay with the deceased. Well, alhamdulillah, you know, if you met your family, your mom, your dad, those of us who are new Muslims and we lost so many family members, you know, we're worried about them. Children that we may have lost. My mother, my wife's great grandmother just died, you know, just a few months ago. Well, alhamdulillah, if we see those people that we knew, maybe we lost people in Gaza, Ya Allah, in Syria, in Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Egypt, wherever, Pakistan, Afghanistan, we see them, alhamdulillah, in our dream. That's why Abdullah ibn Salam, radiyallahu anhu, is authentically narrated, who was, you know, formerly not Muslim and became Muslim in the community of the Prophet in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made him the brother of Salman al-Farisi, a khawa. And they used to say, you know, if you die first, visit me in my dream. It's very beautiful. Promise me, wallahi, you'll do your best. And tell me what saved you in the hereafter. Tell me, like, what if you achieved the najah, how did you achieve najah? That's why when you find in the books of the ulama that have not been sort of changed by certain groups, usually in the beginning of their books, they'll mention, I saw in a dream, my teacher visited me, I saw the Messenger of Allah, I saw such and such person. The modern Muslim mind reads this and says, this is bid'ah, because Sunnis are like Simba in the Lion King. They look in the water, they see a pig, they don't see who they really are anymore. Bid'ah, 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 everything's bid'ah. But then they read the classical books of the ulama and they said, how come they're doing stuff I thought was wrong? Because you're wrong, not they're wrong. Look at Imam Ibn Malik. We had to memorize the Alfiya to be Malik. You know, maybe Allah will help us to teach Alfiya in America. Wallahi, it'll be a beautiful thing. Ihya hadhihi al-mutun. It's 1,000 lines we learned in the high school in Azhar about Nahw and Sarf and Balagha. Qala Muhammadun huwa ibn Maliki ahmadu rabbi laha khayra maliki. We had to memorize it. And Ibn Malik, he was a genius. He was the Sheikh of Nawi, Imam An-Nawi, the Suri, in grammar. Can you imagine being the Sheikh of Nawawi? I mean, you must be like first round draft pick, man. That's not the D-Leagues, bro. That's why he says, وَرَجُلُ مِنَ الْكِرَامِ عِنْدِنَا. That line is actually talking about An-Nawawi. When he came and visited him, he saw him. He said, وَرَجُلُ مِنَ الْكِرَامِ عِنْدِنَا وَلَا يَجُزُ إِبْتِدَى بِنَكِرَا. He's talking about An-Nawawi. Anyways, Imam Ibn Malik, Jamaluddin Ibn Malik from Andalus, he moved to Syria because, you know, mashallah. He, in writing his poem, 1,000 lines more or less to capture the Arabic language, the essence of the Arabic language, and to make tarjih between the Kufis and the Basris. There was a person who came before him who did it. His name was Ibn Mu'ti. Ibn Mu'ti, Al-Fiyata Bi-Mu'ti, it's published actually. So Ibn Malik, he was young, you know, when you're young, sometimes jealousy, hasad. As Ibn Jawzi said, be careful of the envy of ulama. It's worse than the envy of the people who love dunya. Like the envy that scholars and imams and shuykh and du'at will have for each other is actually worse than people fighting over Sephora and six-pack abs. So he attacked Ibn Mu'ti, hajama wa sabbah. Then he said, Ibn Malik, I couldn't finish my poem. Like after I wrote the introduction and I insulted him and just dressed him down, I was unable to finish the alfiyah. And I'm Ibn Malik, I'm a genius. This is what I do, this is my job. He said, wallahi, I sat for a few weeks, as I heard from Sheikh Imad Effat, who you know, Sheikh Imad Effat is the one who was killed in the Egyptian revolution. This was my Sheikh in alfiyah, and Ma'kudi ala alfiyah, hada Sheikhuna rahimahullah. Sheikh Imad Effat, remember his name, the Sheikh of the Thawra, the real Thawra. Ibn Malik, he said, then I saw a dream. It was all a dream. And this guy came to me with a big turban and a beard. And he started cussing me out, man. Started letting me have it. Not cussing him out, but you know, insulting him. How dare you insult your elders? How dare you attack those who came before you? What's wrong with you? Ibn Malik said, and Ibn Malik at the time, he was older, he was a big scholar. So he said, man, who are you? Talk to me like this. He said, I'm Ibn Mu'ti, man. I'm the guy who wrote the first 1,000-line poetry that you attacked in your poem. Why are you attacking me like this? That's why you have writer's back block, because you have qillatul adab. You don't have good adab with the shuykh. Then Ibn Malik, he woke up and he changed it. He said, it's nice, it's beautiful, it's good. He's an amazing writer. God bless him, mashallah. Then he said, my writer's block was gone. Then he begins, كَلَامُنَا لَثٌ مُفِيدٌ قَسْتَقِيَمْ وَصْمٌ وَفَعْلٌ ثُمَّ حَرْفٌ الْكَلِمِ. He finished the alfiyah. Point is, it happened in a dream. So this verse, those many sahaba, not only the two I mentioned, they would say, if you die, visit me. And the mashaykh, al-kibar, al-ulama, al-arifin, they would say to their teachers or their students, if you die, visit me. That's why Imam al-Junayd, many of his students, they said after he died, he came to us in a dream, and we said to him, what saved you? And he said, tahajjud. Two rak'ah for Allah. That's what saved me. I experienced this actually. There was a young woman, she contacted me on Instagram. And you can always tell when it's a non-Muslim because they're like, hi. You know, we're like, alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru amma ba'du faqad. You're like, dude, just say salam, bro. Like, al-ijaz hu al-matlub. But you can tell, like, you know what I mean? She had the vibe, like, hello, comma. Right? And she's like, can I ask you a question? Like, I don't really know you. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to interact with you. I was like, no problem. Khalas, don't worry. She said to me, if you see Muhammad, alayhi salam, in a dream, is it a good thing? And I was like, man, I felt like Luke, Star Wars, man, with a new student, man. You know? And I said to her, really, why? She's like, well, I saw him like 60 times. I said, yo, now I really felt like Luke, you know, like, take care of this person. Then I said, okay, what did he look like? Because we know only two people can necessarily see the Messenger of Allah in the dream. Number one, alimun bi sifatihi. The alim of the sifat of Sayyidina Muhammad. So that's why if we're not scholars of how he looks, we should ask Sheikh, the shuykh, the imma, we should ask them. Number two, a sahabi. Because sahabi, they know what the Prophet looks like. So then I said to her, can you write down what he looks like? Wallahi, it's like I was reading the Shama'il. Like what she said. She described him perfectly. Then I said to her, what is he doing in the dream? She said, he's hugging me and he's crying. I said, every time it's the same dream. So I said, who the heck are you, man? Then she said, I was adopted. Then I start, you know, spidey sense, right? I said, really, where are you from? She said, eastern part of one place, which is known to be 99.9999% Team Crescent. And then she said, I have a piece of paper that they said was left to me by my family, but it's in some language written backwards. I was like, yalla, please make it Arabic. I said, can you send it to me? So she sent it to me. It was Arabic. It was Shajarat al-Al. It was her family tree. She is Hassaniya. She's from the family of Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein. Then I said to her, you're from the, you know, I'm trying to be like non-Muslim about it, you know, like, oh, you're from like the folk of the Prophet, you know. And then she goes, oh, is that a big deal? You know? And I was like, yeah, you're from the Ashraf, you're from Itariya, right? You're from the Asadatina. And then she said, then what does this dream mean? It's the first day of Ramadan. This is like 2 weeks I talked to her. I said, it means that if your family left you, your grandfather came to get you. And she took Shahada. So don't sleep on this kind of stuff, literally. And she became, alhamdulillah, a good sister. And she's from the Ashraf. And her grandfather found her in her dreams, not here. The third way that we can communicate with the dead is a hadith in Sahih Sunan of Imam al-Nasa'i, which is from the six major books of hadith. And also one thing about dreams. Dreams, jun min junudillah. Sometimes dreams are a soldier from the soldiers of Allah. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ تَعْلَى بِهَا قُلُوبَ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. Maybe someone's in a bad marriage. They have their dreams. Maybe somebody, their kids are giving them a hard time. They run into the mother of Sayyidina Musa. Maybe somebody's worried about their parents. They meet Sayyidina Abu Huraira to tell them about his mom. You know, it's a place to be strengthened. If someone sees their family members in a good situation after death, in their dreams, keep doing sadaqah for them, whatever you are doing. If somebody sees their family members or friends in a difficult situation, make charity for them, ask Allah to forgive them, do khair on their behalf, as we'll talk about in a second. The third way that we communicate with the deceased is actually not us. Imam al-Nasa'i mentions with the sound isnad that the Prophet ﷺ said that when someone dies, they actually will meet people in the barzakh, this realm between the hereafter and dunya. And those people that died before them will say, hey, how is Fatima? Tell us about Suhaib. They will ask about you. And they will tell them, yeah, you know, I left them. They were going to GW. May Allah help them, right? Protesting, alhamdulillah, for haqq. You know, oh, I left them. They're going through some difficulty. Oh, this. What's called al-hiwar. They will parlay. And this long hadith. And they will ask if they knew you, or if they were your relatives, if they were your family. They will ask the recently deceased about you. And they will tell them, alhamdulillah. That takes us to the last thing about the deceased, is can we benefit them? And we know the majority of Ahl Sunnah say yes, a minority say no. The minority, they use two important evidences that we should respect. We don't have to disrespect someone just because we don't agree with them. Number one, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu 'amal min adam inqata'a illa min thalatha. The actions of every person stops after they die except three. Ilmun yuntafa'u bi, beneficial knowledge. Wa waladun yad'u lahu min ba'di, or a child that will make dua for them afterwards. We know the narration, how can we punish them under the earth when they have a righteous child above it? Subhanallah. Kayf nu'adhibuhu tahta al-ard? How can we punish that person under the ground and their righteous child is above the ground? The third, he said, sadaqatun jariyah, is a continuous sadaqah. We see so many people now, alhamdulillah, wells in the Muslim country, hospitals, schools, you know, whatever we can do, alhamdulillah, that will last after we're gone. So that's the first evidence for those who say you can't. The second evidence is the verse, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَ وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يَرَى. Surah Al-Najm, Allah says that everyone will have what they strove for. Everyone will only get in the hereafter what they worked for. The response of the majority of Ahl Sunnah is, we agree with you. That person who dies, yeah, they can't help themselves. And that person, when they're gone, they cannot strive anymore. But the verse and the hadith are not talking about their friends or their family or their community. It's talking about them. But they're dead. But it doesn't say any of those texts that the living cannot help them. And in fact, there are texts to show the opposite. For example, in Sahih Muslim, the woman who came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wasallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, my father, he died and he was incapable of making Hajj. Can I make Hajj on his behalf? And the Prophet ﷺ said, if your father had a debt, would you pay it? Yeah, then make Hajj on his behalf. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second is that the Sahaba themselves would ask people to do khair on their behalf after they died. And this is the importance of the madhahib. What do the madhahibs help us do? They save us the trouble of trying to have to reinvent the wheel. They are a interpretive, if you will, guard as we go through Surat al-Mustaqim. Doesn't mean that we don't have our own ijtihad and own fatawa on issues, of course. Me personally, on contemporary issues, I prefer contemporary scholars. On issues of theology and ibadat, I prefer the classical scholars. This is my methodology I was taught. But here, subhanAllah, we find Imam Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni, his Hanbali, volume 2, page 225. He says, فَأَيُّ فِعْلٍ فَعَلَهَا وَجَعَلَهَا ثَوَابًا لِأَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ الْمَيِّتِ. Any good that a person does and dedicates it to a deceased Muslim brother or sister will go to them. That's why in the Maliki, but also I study Hanafi fiqh, alhamdulillah, Quduri al-Kitab. Any Hanafi book you pick up, you find a section, the title of the chapter is Sending the Virtues of the Quran to the Deceased. Sending the thawab of the Quran to al-mayyit. It's impossible for us to believe that the entire Hanafi madhab, thousands of ulama, over centuries and centuries of peer review, are ahlul bidah. It's insanity. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for his own uncle Abu Talib, he did something that reduced his punishment in the hereafter. Sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam. So how can we benefit them? Sadaqa, dua. And that's why, for example, one of the ways we can support charitable vehicles, alhamdulillah, like Islamic Relief and Baitul Mal and whoever, say, yeah, I want to do this in the name of such and such person. Our madrasa, actually we have our Quran course. One of our classes in Warsh is named after one of our aunties in Malaysia whose family opened up a chair for that study in her name, alhamdulillah. So that people will make dua for her. Because after death, we don't worry about riyah for people. Like, people are gone, you don't worry. They can't make riyah because they're not mukallaf anymore. But we can make sadaqah and khair on behalf, alhamdulillah. Another question that I got, and this is an important question, and there's a trigger warning, we're going to talk about suicide, is that oftentimes I find three mistakes when it comes to death. Number one is that when someone dies, they're divorced from their spouse. Are you insane? Well, you know they died, this is they died, like that's the same as talaq. No, talaq is talaq. Death is death. And so let's say, for example, to the spouse, I saw this in some communities, you can't see the deceased spouse anymore because since they died, I mean, what a great thing to say to someone who's going through misery. Oh, on top of the pain of death, you can now no longer see your spouse because they are now no longer mahram to you. What kind of insanity is this? Untethered from scholarship, tethered to emotions. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is authentically related, when his wife died, he washed his wife. Ya Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati khulafa rashidin min ba'di. And the narrator says, I saw him kiss her forehead. This is the masculinity that we want as men. The masculinity that makes us so comfortable with Allah, we can be vulnerable and we can be strong at the same time. America only teaches us how to hate men as men. Doesn't teach us how to love each other. That's why when you go to the Muslim world and the brother comes and grabs your hand and starts walking with you, how'd you react? I know how I reacted. I was walking, hey man, grab my hand. He's like, wallahi ana bahibba kateer. I was like, wait, bahibba? Tib leesh, yani, man, ana la aarifukum, la ana aarifuk, shahidtuk ala YouTube, ana bahibba kateer. I was like, hada firaqu baini wa bainik. لَنْ أُنَبِّئَكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. I ain't telling you nothing. But then I realized, why am I so hard? Like, why am I like this? This is what America does to you. Because it amplifies the negative. No doubt we should be strong, we should be brave, of course, but not because we're insecure, because we're confident in Allah. So I said, all right, man, hold my hand. And then you know what? It felt good, man. There was a side. No, like it touched me. Like, yeah, I became soft. And I said, this is ukhuwah. This is brotherhood, man. And the whole way he's like, well, I ana bahibbik. I was like, okay. But by the end, it's like, wana bahibbik Allah habtani fi, you know, like, khalas. In Pakistan, I experienced, you know, Pakistan, a lot of love, man. Right? Yeah, I had a brother start massaging my back. And at first, because we're capitalist society, it makes you lose your humanity. So everything is framed through the lens of the cultural wars. But we should not be restricting ourselves to the lenses of the cultural wars of this country. We should be above that because we have prophetic lenses, not cultural lenses. Not Kafir culture. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr models for us what it means to love your spouse and to be mourning your spouse and to shed tears and kiss his spouse. Nobody said to him, well, talaqtaha ala shan al-maut. Like, you divorced her because she died. Sorry, bro. Peace out. Islam is not an inhumane. In fact, Sheikh Al-Qaradawi used to say to us, deen insani. It's a human deen. It feels for people. Man la yarham la. Yurham. And we lost that because this country will suck the rahmah from your heart in the name of being protection and tough and harsh. You see people, they live in a gated community with 400 guns in freaking Southern Virginia. And you ask them, what are you worried about? The roosters? Like, what you got? Well, they're going to come kill us. Who's the pronoun go to? No idea. So that's the first. Number two is, can women go to the graveyards? It's like all the time. I run into sisters, even who going to visit one time, she's going to visit her father's grave, and on the way, she came from overseas, they told her you can't go because, you know, khalas, you're a woman, you don't need to go in the graveyard because your iman is so high. What? Who? The hadith I mentioned earlier, why did I mention that isnad? That's one of the 13 isnad of that hadith. السلام عليكم دار قوم مؤمنين وحدثني شيخي بالإسناد. Why did the isnad I mentioned to you go to who? Who did I say narrated the hadith? Who remembers? When you go in the graveyard, you say the dua. Who did I say narrated the hadith? That's the answer. That's why we say when you study isnad, you learn about the anthropology of Islam. Isnad teach you more sometimes than the mantuq. Because the isnad will tell you, oh, that was the father of that. Oh, they must have had a good relationship, like Asim and Hafs. Why does Hafs narrate from Asim? Because Asim was his stepdaddy. Asim was blind, but he married a single mother and he raised her son as Hafs. فَبِبَارَكَةَ تَتَرْبِيَ. Hafs became an imam. There's a story there. It shouldn't be lost. So the narration from Sayyidah Aisha, would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach her a dua to go in the graveyard if it was haram for her to go in the graveyard? Think. Don't just hear. But I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen a lot of stuff on YouTube. about me. I don't believe one of the bad things about me. Not even one. Maybe one. Or two. Number two, the narration of Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's in the graveyard, there's a woman, she's mourning her son. And Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, you know, she didn't see him, be patient, Allah will give you. She said, leave me alone, you don't know what I've been through. Then he walked away, look at his adab, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the people said to her, that's the Prophet, Alayhi Salaam. She said, what? Yeah, that was Sayyidina Muhammad. And she stood up and she ran, Ya Rasulullah. He taught her, Rabbaha. He said, you know, patience is in the beginning. But did he tell her, oh, and by the way, never go in a graveyard again? He didn't. We have a great axiom in Usul al-Fiqh and Fatwa. At-ta'akhar bil-bayan muhal. Yani, if the Prophet needs to say something is wrong, he doesn't hide it. Inna alladhina yaktumuna ma anzalna min al-bayinat. He's not going to hide anything. He's commanded to teach halal and haram. So anytime something haram happens, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu, he's going to speak to it. He didn't tell her. Yeah, be patient. Oh, by the way, never go in the graveyards again because women are not allowed in the graveyard. He didn't say that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third, another narration from Al-Hakim and Naysapuri, Al-Mustadrak, from Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, who was walking in Medina, and Abdullah ibn Mulaykal, he saw her. And he said to her, where are you coming from? She said, I'm coming from the graveyard. My brother Abdurrahman, he died, and I went to make like aza for him. Then he said, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us not to go to the graves. Then she said, Thum nahana thumma amarana bi ziyaratiha. Yeah, he said, don't, but later on he commanded us to do it. She understood us to be Muslimin and Muslim women. Some people will mention the narration, rule number 316, don't take your deen from memes. Please, stop. I want y'all to live. Rule 316, don't take deen from memes. They'll say, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadith I read in English, Allah cursed a woman who visits graves. Rawahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim. MashaAllah alayk. That's why I said earlier the importance of scholarship and mathahib and Arabic. Arabic is not the language of Arabs. Arabic is the language of the ummah. If you have this idea, oh, Arabic is Arabs, you've been colonized. You are a whitewashed mind. You are now the victim and the outcome of what the Eurocentrists wanted to happen to Muslims. Just like Ammiya, I don't call it Ammiya. You know what I call it? Lugha Musta'mara. It's a colonized language. If you speak Ammiya all the time, oh, Fusha is ta'ban aliyya, wana ma'afsh, wala haga, saba giddan awiwa. Okay, khalas, no problem. But understand that Ammiya was interjected into the Arabs to divide them more. Nationalism, and each has its own language. But what binds us is pure Arabic as an ummah and other things. We respect all languages, alhamdulillah. But the language of wahi is Arabi. That's why Al-Razi, who's Persian, he died in Herat, Afghanistan. He was poisoned by the extremists. He said in Surah Al-Hijr that the Quran is more than Arabi. The Quran is Kalamullah. Subhanallah. And here's an example. This hadith that people use to attack people. Yeah, well, the Prophet said that Allah cursed a person, woman who visits a grave. Tayyib. Okay, barakallahu feek. May Allah reward you. Such a nice person. Spewing that on me. But what does the Arabic say? Does it say, La'anullah za'irat al-qubur? Allah curse women who visit graves. Za'irat, alif ta, I said earlier. Or is it zuwarat? It's zuwarat. It's a strange sounding word. Ibn Malik said what? وَبَعْدُ فَالْفِعْلُ مَنْ يُحْكِمْ تَصَرُّفَهُ يَحُزْ مِنَ اللُّغَةِ الْأَبْوَابُ وَالسُّبُلَ. If you understand why the words change and how they change and why they're different and why the things happen to them, the language will open itself to you. Here's the difference. There's a difference between Zairat, which means visit, or Zuwarat, always visit. Now the meaning changes. So la'natullah, la'natullah zuwarat al-qubur, those women who constantly go into the grave. Not they go like adat, like normal, to visit their deceased relatives, to visit their husband, or to visit their kids, or to visit someone who passed away who they love, their friends, their co-workers. He didn't say zairat al-qubur, which means they visit once in a while. He says zuwarat, they visit so much. And there's two understandings of this word. One is those women who used to be paid in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before in Jahiliyyah, they would come and scream and cry. And you ask them, like, it's like buying likes, man. You know what I'm saying? They're like buying, it's bot, they're bots, they're bot mourners, right? So it's like, hey, who are all, oh, you know, mashallah, you knew all these women, the implications, a'udhu billah is a bad implication, right? He was a ladies man, all these women are here to cry for him. Because he had it going on, him and his camels, right? So it's a lie. Number two is it could be someone who goes so much, they neglect their family, they neglect their job, they neglect their responsibilities, they neglect their children. It's not talking about a woman who regularly wants to go to visit her deceased, like on Eid day or whatever. The last, and we'll finish, we'll move on quickly because of time, are people who commit suicide. This is an egregious sin. It's one of the major sins. But when I was an imam years ago, and even now, people call me and say, such and such person's child committed suicide, may Allah make it easy. That's why every mosque should have relationship with clinicians, that there is mental health services available for congregants. There's nothing wrong with that. It's an interdisciplinary issue. And then they told me there was a sister whose young daughter died in Boston. May Allah forgive her and give her Jannah. And they said to me, we're not praying, not in our mosque. I was out of town. I came from overseas. I came back. They said they didn't pray on her. Ya Allah, nobody prayed on her? Well, because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone became like mufti, you know. Rawahu Muslim from Anas. No, it's Abu Hurairah. Yeah, Mami Abu Hurairah, sorry. You know, you could have guessed Abu Hurairah, been a better guess, just quantity wise. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever kills himself with a knife, they'll be killed like this. Khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada. Then it says, whoever beats themselves to death, this will happen. Khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada. The hadith says in Muslim, as we read to our shuyukh, this Sahih Muslim. The problem here is something, man. And we have great students and scholars of knowledge in the audience. Correct me if I'm wrong. And correct me if I'm right. That this is ziyadat al-rawi. It's called ziyadat al-rawi, meaning the narrator added something to the hadith to give it tawqid. How do you translate tawqid? Like, you know, to emphasize, to show the severity. But it is not allowed to take rulings from ziyadat al-rawi except a few, as mentioned by Ibn Hajar, and Nukhbat al-Fiqh. What I'm saying is one of the narrators of the hadith was narrating it, and he said, that part, that they will suffer like that forever, is not a statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a statement of one of the ruwat, one of the narrators, which is called it's allowed. Like it's like tafsir of the hadith as he understood it, but we don't take rulings from it. So therefore, if we read the hadith without the ziyada, it says, the one who stabs himself will be punished. The one who poisons himself will be punished. The one who beats himself to death will be punished. The Prophet did not say, and that will happen to them forever. That changes at a policy level how we function as a community, our janazah services, like what happened to many families who lost people due to suicide. And also, we became a community of rahmah. So this understanding, based on the actual wording, the matan of the kalam of Sayyid al-Anam sallallahu alayhi wasallam, does not mean that, although it is a major sin. That takes us to the next subject. Everyone take a quick deep breath. A lot of information. It's jinn. Jinn. First of all, people ask, can we see jinn? And people say they saw a jinn. A lot of jinns in Virginia. So, I said earlier that Arabic is the language actually of the Ummah. It's also the language of interpretation. Al-Qadi al-Baydawi in al-Manhaj, he said, فَيَتَوَقَّفُ الْإِسْتِدْلَالُ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ اللُّغَةِ وَأَقَصَامِهَا. Al-Qadi al-Baydawi, he was Persian from Shiraz, great Shafi scholar. In al-Manhaj, he said, the ability to prove things from the Quran and Sunnah rests on mastery of Arabic. Mastery of the language. The word itself, jinn, from jannana, fi'l mud'af, like haqqaqa, has two noons in it. And the meaning, actually, of the word itself is satar. Something hidden. Something covered. There's the answer. Can I see a jinn? No. Because its meaning is something which is mastur. That's why, subhanAllah, what do you call the place that we all hope to go one day? Jannah. لَنَّ لَمْ تُرَى مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا قَلْبٌ وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Prophet said that Jannah is something no eye has seen. That's why it's called Jannah. Ibn Qayyim said it could be also because it's surrounded by trees. You can't see inside it. Also, if you're from Pakistan, why are you laughing? Zinjibag, man. Zindagi bi bandagi shamindagi, dude. Like, proud of Pakistan, man. Shukri, both shukri, bhai sahab. Gore sab urati alhamdulillah. Tore tore se. But Punjabi nahi. Or Pashtun. Ya Allah. Persian? Okay, Azizam Persian, I can do Persian, but not Pashtun. Allah forgive me. I know it's a major sin in Baluchistan and can't teach Pashtun. But Persian works in Baluchistan. But subhanAllah, the group Janoon. Our brother Junaid, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him Jannah. Janoon, because Majnoon in Arabic means Al-Aql Mastur. That's why they call it Majnoon, but they don't say crazy. See, that's the problem. Just like ADHD, you know ADHD in Indian languages is what? Indian Native Americans? Many lives. What a beautiful, you got ADHD, take Ritalin, take Adderall. If you go back to the classic people, they had nice names for things like ADHD, you know, attention deficit disorder, right? It was like, no, this person, they experience many lives. They have a beautiful life. You'll cry if you read things like that if you have ADHD, because you see there's ni'mah in it. And they would say people that what they called many lives are much more emotionally intense and caring people. Anyways, Majnoon isn't crazy. Majnoon is covered, hidden. So it's our job. We are now responsible to help find that jinn that's hidden in that person. Now, oh, they're crazy. We don't militarize illness in our theological language. SubhanAllah. Also, jinin is the embryo. Before, now people can see the embryo, but in the ancient times, the Arabs, they called it jinin. Why? Lam yura. So then that answers the question. Can you see jinn? It's in the name. It's from the unseen, from the ghaybiyat. So people think and they saw jinn in their house, jinn in their front yard, jinn in the forest. It's not a jinn. Imam al-Shafi says in the Risala, فَقَدْ بَدَعَ فَمَنْ دَعَ بِأَنَّهُ رَأَى جِنًّا فَقَدْ أَبْتَلْنَا شَهَرَتَهُ. Imam Shafi said, whoever said they saw a jinn, we can't accept them as a witness in court anymore. They have disqualified themselves. This came later on. Also, we find some people, they said, about jinn possession, we'll talk about it in a second, but seeing them in their true form is only for the prophets. However, we do believe, as mentioned by Al-Baydawi, the same Al-Baydawi, but in a different book on Ilahiyat, Usul al-Din, that jinn can shapeshift by the will of Allah, just like Malaika can shapeshift. The hadith of the angel who came to the man and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to visit my brother in Islam. He said, really? That's the only reason? That's the only reason. I'm a messenger sent to you to tell you that Allah loves you as you wanted to visit him. It was an angel. In the shape of a man. How do we know that jinn can become human beings? The hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. When he said, this old man came to me and said, give me zakat. He said, I'm going to take you to the Messenger of Allah after three times. That old man said, wallahi, I will teach you Quran. Just don't take me to the Messenger of Allah. He said, read out to Kursi at night and you'll be protected. The next day, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah, he came to Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet said, how was your guest? Abu Hurairah said, what? He said, yeah, he said, he was truthful, but he was a liar. That was shaitan. Also, we know that we can't see them in their true form because Allah says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَانَوْمْ. He and his crew see you from where you can't see them, meaning in their true form. Also in Surah Anfal, فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكِ إِنِّي خَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Surah Hashr Asr. That in the battle of Uhud, the shaitan came to the Quraysh in the form of a man and encouraged them to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also in their meeting in Surah Anfal, before the Prophet made hijrah, and the shaitan came to them in the form of an old man and said, لَا, you should kill him, don't do anything but kill him. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. And it was the form of a person. So we believe that shayateen can shapeshift. Al-Qadi al-Baydawi writes, and it's the opinion of the majority of Sunnis, that jinn can shapeshift into animals and human beings. However, it's impossible for you and I to definitively say that. I saw the squirrel at the park, man. Squirrel was tripping, bro. Shaitan, bro. Shaitan squirrel, man. You know, the monkeys at the Ghar Hira taking your lunch and your shawarma. Not shaitan. Why? Because the affirmation of what shaitan is only for the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he knows the ghaib, the unseen, not us. Same thing with angels. Someone did something nice to you or whatever. Oh, mashallah, you know. They let me cut in line. I met an angel today. Stop, man. Say, inshallah khair. We should just be good to people. We know Sayyidina Jibreel, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the form of a human being. We believe, in our context here, we're not talking about good jinn. It's a whole different discussion. We're talking about evil jinn. Al-Hafidh Ibn al-Dabbar mentions istithkar, that there are a hierarchy to the jinn. Number one, those jinn that don't bother anybody, they're doing their jinn business. Right? We call them jinn. Number two, jinn that bother children, haunt children in different ways, are called arwah, spirits or ghosts. But we can't see them. Number three, those jinn that have evil intentions, and there's three or four levels of them. Number one is called Amir, the one that wants to hurt you. Number two is Marid, even more hurt you. Number three is Ifrit, three out of the group. Ifrit really wants to hurt you. And then the last two, Shaitan, which is your super enemy. And then the head of the Shayateen is Iblis. Something that's important to know, every one of us has their own personal shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ said, nobody is born except their shaitan is born with them. And that shaitan does not leave you in Ramadan. This is a mistake of people. That's now you can say, oh, that's why I was doing all that badly. Exactly. Blame it on the shaitan, bro. That shaitan doesn't leave you till you die. Until you die. Shaitan has seven goals for you as a Muslim, and four or five ways to achieve those goals. The first goal is to make you a kafir. That's it. And there are two ways to make someone a kafir through his strategy, as mentioned by Ibn al-Jawzi. Number one is doubt. How do I deal with doubt? Ask and learn. Number two, desires. How do you deal with desires? Think about death and think about the repercussions of living an irresponsible life. The second goal of shaitan, if he can't make us kufar, is major sins. Because usually major sins are going to amplify the desires that take me into what? Kufr. The third is minor sins. What's the difference in major and minor? Major sins, what's mentioned with hellfire, minor sins aren't. The fourth, makruhat. Dislike stuff that's permissible but could lead to sin. That's why it's makruh. The fifth, mubah. Permissible stuff, but I waste my time. So for example, 2 days ago, this brother and I, we pray Fajr together in the masjid. If one of us misses, we call each other on Georgia Avenue. He didn't come. So of course, mashallah, I had to become Uncle G. I call him. He's like, bro, you seen Love is Blind, Habibi? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man, this show called Love is Blind, Habibi, man. You gotta watch this show on Netflix. It's crazy. And I was like, is that why you missed Fajr in the masjid? Because you were blinded by Love is Blind? Habibi. He's like, but it's so... He's like, yeah, man, you're right, astaghfirullah, man. I binge watched the whole thing, bro. Me and my wife were like watching it till like 4. I was like, you just came to the masjid. He's like, I was tired. Ah, tired from watching Love is Blind. Habibi, ya Habibi, ma'alesh. Right, but the point is, that's mubah. Maybe. Maybe not. I haven't seen the show. I'm assuming because as Habibi, it's halal, it's dhabiha. But something tells me, I don't think it is. But I have a good suspicion with him. But it did make him miss Fajr, right? So being disciplined in the permissible. If I waste so much time playing Fortnite all the time, Assassin's Creed, ooh man, we're in Baghdad, bro. Abbasi Empire. But I miss Fajr. Really? So that's the shaitan. Or I'm involved in mubah that takes me away from my family. I don't have priorities. The last is he gets you to choose the less of two good. What an enemy. He can't trick you, can't deceive you, can't take you away from what you're supposed to do, but at least he doesn't stop. At least I'll get you to choose the akhaf al-khayrain. That's why Imam Ibn Taymiyyah has a good statement. Al-alim laysa man ya'rifu al-khayr, bal al-alim huwa alladhi ya'rifu khayra khayraini wa sharra sharraini. Ibn Taymiyyah said, the scholar isn't the one who knows the good. The scholar is the one who knows the best of goods. And the scholar isn't the one who knows what's bad. The scholar is the one who knows the baddest of the bad. Ya Allah, basira. There are 4 or 5 ways that shaitan seeks to destroy you, and we're going to stop here because it's late. Number one, anger. That's why in fatwa, in Dar Ifta, أنا كنت أشتغل في دار إفتاء مصرية وكنت أفتي هناك. They used to tell us, لا فتوى بالإغلاق. لا إفتاء بالإغلاق. If you're having a bad day, don't give fatwa. I'm like, ooh, I don't have to come to work. Alhamdulillah, bad day. Like, no, you can write other people's fatwa. Come on, man. But they would say, don't give fatwa if you're mad. So now if you're an influencer, man, I just had the worst day of my life. Live! Why would you do that? Going to take all that anger out on your people. I remember when I was Snapchat Imam and I was in a bad mood one day answering questions, and someone wrote to me, hey man, you're in a bad mood, stop. It's a good person. So wallahi, subhanAllah, my mother just died, you know, my head is not there. So anger, how many divorces I saw because of anger? How many friendships I saw destroyed because of anger? How many masjids were wrecked because of anger? And the Prophet said that anger is from fire and fire is from shaitan. So when you feel angry, make wudu. Say, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, he said. The second is negligence. Inshallah, you can start Quran when them when they're 20. They're still katakit. Don't worry. Don't teach them too much about the deen. Don't be hard on them also. We make a mistake. We teach our children ahkam before we teach them hub, to love Allah, to love Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the rulings will fall. Follow them. Or we neglect our marriages. Ah, khalas, we got married. Everything's good now. No, no. Every 7 years, all your cells die. Except for a few cells in your brain. So every 7 years, you're a new person. SubhanAllah. Make sure you grow together. Don't neglect your relationship with your spouse. Don't neglect your relationship with your parents. One day I was talking to my mother. The next day my father called me. Come. She was gone. Just like that. Don't neglect, oh, I'll go back to Allah. I'm still young. If you die tomorrow, you're old now. If you die tomorrow, you're old today. The believer doesn't allow themselves to be restricted by time. The believer is only restricted by akhirah. So negligence, shaitan. He says, لَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ I will make them procrastinate. In Surah An-Nisa. The third, desires. The fourth, fear. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه. Shaitan wants you to be scared. I'm going to take off hijab. Why? I'm scared. I'm not going to pray. Why? I'm scared. I'm not going to wear kufi and be, you know, as an ally to sisters. At least let me show some of my Islam. Why? What are you scared of? I don't know, you know. I was watching Fox News. Shawqi says, mistaken is the one who thinks that fox, he means here the fox in the field, I'm saying the fox on TV, has deen for one day. Nah, be strong, be with Allah. Mutanabi said, إِذَا غَامَرْتَ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرُومٍ فَلَا تَقْنَا فِيمَا دُونَ النَّجُومِ. Mutanabi said, if you set out to do something good, don't stop till you reach the stars. فَطَعْمَ الْمَوْتِ فِي أَمْرٍ حَقِيرٍ كَطَعْمَ الْمَوْتِ فِي أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. Ya Allah, the taste of death, whether you're living for something great or something small, is the same. So you might as well be great. The shaitan, he works on fear. The last is extremism. And in Islam, we have two types of extremism. Too loose, too harsh. Ibn Qayyim says there's no command in the Quran, except there's a shaitan sitting on the command who will call you to being too harsh or too easy. And he will study you and he will know you. Do you lean to being too harsh? Do you lean to being too easy? And he will work you and manipulate you. How do you save yourself from that? فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. أَسْتَ عُلَمَا. We'll finish here quickly because it's late. I have a 6 a.m. flight also to Austin. May Allah help me. I'm from Oklahoma. I don't like Texas. I'm from D.C. I don't like... So, your highways here are like the Maze Runner, okay? What is wrong with these roads? My wife has a Tesla. I can't afford one. And even the Tesla's like, go right, go left. I said, you get Elon Musk. Sorry. So, people with Teslas were like, hey, do I guess my man? Is ruqya. Exorcism. The word ruqya is from a word which means to heal. Notice every time I use a word, I use the Quran to define it. That's what you should do. If you're a teacher, a sheikh, a student, use the Quran first. Or use the sunnah first. Afsahu al-lisan. Kalam Rahman wa kalam Sayyidina Anam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. Allah says, وَقِيلَ مَا الرَّاقَ in Surah Al-Qiyamah. Who will raqahu? Who will heal him? So the word ruqya means to heal. It's not exorcism. Be careful of this stuff. Exorcism is different. That's Georgetown. The stairs and the cheap guacamole and Linda Blair. Right? Raq means to heal. Also means to raise. Maraqi al-Su'ud. In Usul al-Fiqh, we have one poem called Maraqi al-Su'ud. To be raised, to be elevated. Because the Arabs, they thought, you know, when you do ruqya, you elevate the illness from a person. In ancient times. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in two hadith. One, he said, don't do ruqya. The other hadith, he said, whoever can do ruqya, فَلْيَنْفَعْ أَخَاهُ. Whoever can do ruqya, let them do it. This is called ta'arud in the adilla. We have two different evidences. They contradict each other. What do? We try to make them work. The first is in Mecca. Those people still had shirk practices with ruqya. The second is in Medina, now they have tawheed, now do ruqya. There are conditions for doing ruqya, and I'll mention them quickly and we'll stop. Number one is the best person to do ruqya to you is you. Because why? The Prophet ﷺ, he did it for himself, the Sahaba, they did it for themselves first. Doesn't mean other people can't do it, but you. Number two, it should only be with one of the following things. Please remember this. Number one, Quran. Any part of the Quran. But the last two chapters are the best, as mentioned by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Number two, the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the attributes of Allah. Number three, any supplication that the Prophet taught us for this. For example, the supplication for children. U'idhukuma. بِكَرِمَتِ لَتَامَتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ هَمَّ وَهَمَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ. Prophet made this dua for Sayyidina Imam al-Hasan and Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn. أُعِيذُكُمَ بِكَرِمَتِ لَهِ تَامَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَمَّ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is from Imam al-Tirmidhi with a good isnad. The second condition is, it should not be gibberish. It should not be gibberish. You know, subhanAllah. Everybody's okay on time?
Yeah.
You guys all right? I can't see you. The nur is, I mean, you guys are so saliheen. I feel like I can't see anything. So many awliya. Barakallahu feekum. Awliya, Virginia. So, one day I took an Uber to BWI. I live in DC, Tacoma Park area. White people, patchouli, weird stuff. Okay, that's where I live. So, anyways, the Uber comes and it's Indamanash, Indamanna, Salamu Salamu. It's my Habashi sister, Alhamdulillah, with a huge cross on her mirror. So I say, Salamu Salamu, Indamanash, Indamanna, how are you? Where's the bunna? No bunna. What's going on? No bunna. No coffee, man. Then I had on the official work uniform because it's Friday, I'm flying to give the khutbah, so I look like a white dude who appropriated Azhar. But I'm actually a graduate from Hogwarts, Azhar, so I can wear it, right? I earned that. So then she says to me, why are you dressed like that? I said, you know, I'm a school teacher, Islamic school teacher. And then she's like, you know what? Can I ask you a question? Wallahi al-azim, I said to her, you have a jinn, don't you? I'm not good at this, nobody call me. I swear to God, I don't like, I'm white, I'm scared of this. And she said to me, yeah, how did you know? I said, wallahi, this is from Allah. Because I don't like this stuff, I'm not good at it, and I'm sort of scary. What's wrong with you? Because she told me, it's some stuff, boy. It's some stuff. Then I said, did you go to the priest? She said, it didn't work. I was like, man, is the priest going to do it? I said, all right. How can I help you? She said, can you read the Quran to the airport? Now it's empty hand shuffle-y. Now it became a Quran test. Like, what did I review last? I'm hafiz, but like, hey, still, you know. I say, yeah, I can do one juz in 45 minutes. I can do a juz in 30 minutes. We can do the first juz of Baqarah. Or second juz because of Ayatul Kursi. She's like, okay, do it. So then I'm riding down the highway to Baltimore, reading Surah Baqarah. Loud with an Ethiopian Christian woman, man. And then I'm reading, and then she starts like, yeah. So I'm like, you know, At-talaqu marratan, imsakun bima'rufin, aw tasrihun bi-ihsan. I'm like, man, here we go. Then we get to the airport, you know, tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dhum. I get to that point. And then she said, wait, I feel better. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad something worked here, right, you know? So I feel better, and is there a way I can stay in touch with you? I said, well, you know, I know some good sisters. I do. Yeah, brothers always do that, man. Sisters always do that, because you never know alternative motives. You don't know who shaitan will come at you in different ways. Don't be stupid. So I said to her, also Masjid First Hijra, really good people, I can get you in touch with them. But I gave her my phone number. Then she texted me a week later. She said, I met this sheikh online. I'm like, yeah, here we go, man. Was he from Virginia? Right, so I just, no, I said, okay, fine. Ashburn, I said, all right, cool. Richmond, and she said, he sent me this picture and he said, I should read it. But I don't read this language. Can I send it to you? I said, yeah, send it to me. Wallahi, man. She sent me this handwritten note with backwards Arabic, Pir Sahib style. Pir Sahib with numbers, Arabic numbers, and Zebra Besh, and all that weird stuff. And then there's a picture I have a sense of humor, so forgive me if you don't know me. That's why I always get Imam Majid in trouble, man. Here's a picture of the Sheikh in the middle of the Kleenex, man. That's handwritten. No, he stenciled himself. Brothers, he was jacked, dude. Like, he was massive. He's like on roids and growth hormone. And he had no shirt on with a turban. So the aura is showing. I'm like, man, what kind of shit? This is one of them, you know, Craigslist shits. Right. So I said, look, man, why me? My wife tells me, why you attract crazy people? I said, baby, I don't know, man. But look at, I'm looking at, dude look good though. I wasn't asking anything. Go to Vita Gym, like, where you go? Vita, right? In DC. He was Jack. This is Mender pick, I don't know. So I said, hey man, look. So I looked at it and I said to her, like, I wrote back, no. Then I took a picture of this and sent it to my teacher, who's a jurist. He's not even into the weird stuff. And he wrote back and said, don't look at it and burn it. But it's on my phone. With delete, can I do a qiyas with delete? He's like, yeah, delete it. Shil alatu. You know what Egyptians say, alatu? Yeah, alatu. I'm like, khalas alatu, ahraqta alatu, yeah, man. Then I said to her, just read Quran, and Muslims do this. Why can't you be satisfied with the book of Allah? That's a sign you're possessed. That you need something else? You have Kalam Allah. Why you need something backwards, just numbers? That can also mask narcissism, like, oh, I'm so special. I get a special routine. I get a special program because my jinn is unique. This is narcissism in a sick way. It's shaitan ventriloquism using your face to talk on his behalf. Anna. Just read the Quran. The third is that whoever does the ruqya, if it's not you, it has to be Sharia compliant. No khalwa with the opposite gender and non-mahram. I lived in the Bay Area for 10 years, some of you know this. We have a man now, thank God, alhamdulillah. He is in prison because he sexually assaulted around 20 women and even some boys, because their parents would bring them to his house and drop them off to do ruqya. No degree, no Islamic studies background, not known to any of the imams. He's just cool. He's politically woke. He's not part of the establishment. Be careful of that kind of stuff. Real religious leadership often is unfiltered and best preserved where? In your nonprofits. Because look at all I'm dealing with so many people here right now. Like, if I don't offend one of you, this is a rahmah. I'm saying it's hard to serve a community like that. That's big. But that means you've been filtered. You've been publicly sanctioned. Stop looking for the weird dude in the park, because that's going to lead you somewhere. He would give these women roofies and sexually assault them, man. And he's in prison. And I'm sure, mashallah, he's getting what he deserves. And pretty good. The Muslim brothers are waiting on him. So it has to be Sharia compliant. How can someone take a jinn if they're acting like the devil? The last is, it may take time. It doesn't have to happen immediately. And Imam Al-Ghazali says, it could be your test from Allah, like any form of illness, it could be that test. It could be that test. We'll stop here because of time, it's late, alhamdulillah. And if there's any questions, we can take a few easy questions. If we can turn on the light, because mashallah, I don't even know, I think I'm talking to myself. But what do we talk about? We talked about, number one, death. Number two, shaitan. Number three, ruqya. How do you do ruqya? You read the Quran, you make dua. You read the Quran, you can blow in your hands and rub on yourself. All this is sanctioned by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last point I forgot is you can pay for it, but you should not pay exuberant costs. The Sahaba, one of them, they took money to do ruqya. They took a fee, but it shouldn't be exuberant. And if you trust yourself, someone's asking you for a lot of, we have to fly to this country and pay them $50,000. I saw this in the Bay Area too. This is ridiculous. This is bakwas, man. Excuse my language. This is nonsense, right? It's in the masjid. You pay them a relatively small fee And avoid stuff online, please, wallahi. The videos on YouTube and the people freaking out and running around and dancing and all this stuff. It could be staged. It could be staged, right? Stuff on TikTok, please consult. You have great scholars in Adams. You have great shuyukh. Like, that's what they're here for. Use them. So we'll take any questions if you have them. If not, barakallahu feekum.